The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, and welcome to Dining with Death, True Crime Tuesday. Something very disturbing is happening in Texas. Well, cut. Let's start that again. Because Texas. Something very disturbing is happening at Fort Hood Army Base in Texas. Soldiers stationed at Fort Hood are dying and going missing. Some of the deaths have been solved, many more have not. This case has been requested by some of you multiple times, and I've hesitated to cover it because, truthfully, it's intimidating for me. There are so many murders and disappearances living under the umbrella of the Fort Hood Murders and Disappearances title that it's difficult, for me anyway, to know how to tackle them all and how to do them all justice. I'm worried about skipping over something important or missing something. In fact, I'm quite sure that I will miss something because there is simply so much information that I'm bound to. So please forgive me if I can't put equal emphasis on every single murder and disappearance. I'm just going to try to tell you the story in the best way that I know how. I also need to tell you that we are going to be discussing people who choose to end their own lives. So if that is an issue for you, you will want to turn this off now. This is an upsetting story and one that leaves us with more questions than answers. This is the case of the Fort Hood murders and disappearances. Let's get into it. Fort Hood is established by the U.S. Army near Killeen, Texas, mainly because of its geography. The Army needed wide-open spaces with no people around to test out the tanks that were being manufactured during World War II. By the end of 1942, there were 45,000 troops living at Fort Hood, and by 1943, that number had risen to 95,000 troops. It was a small city that was home for many soldiers and their families. That number sharply decreased after the war, at one point in time dipping to only 5,000 troops. Currently, there are about 40,000 soldiers stationed right here in the Texas desert at Fort Hood. Beginning around 2019, family members began speaking amongst themselves about the high number of murders and disappearances at Fort Hood. Army bases in general have some degree of domestic violence problems, and they are not immune from violent crime, including murder. There are people who express concern that excessive drinking occurs on these bases and that alcohol abuse leads to violence. But at Fort Hood, it's different. It's also somewhat secretive. When I went to try and find a list of people who have gone missing from Fort Hood, I expected to find one. I did not. I found articles that talked about this person or this person, but I could not find a definitive list of all of the people currently missing at Fort Hood. That's why I'm quite sure that I will miss talking about one or more of the soldiers today. If I didn't happen upon an article that includes one particular soldier, I might not know about them because there's no list. I found articles like this one that had lists of people missing since January or missing in 2021, but I didn't find a complete list of all the soldiers that are currently missing. We do have a little more information about the murdered. In 2020 alone, 39 soldiers died or went missing at Fort Hood. 39. Now, 13 of those people were ruled as having ended their own lives. Now, that subject alone could be its own episode. Why are so many soldiers doing that? Why is that happening? That seems like evidence, to me anyway, of a very serious issue among these soldiers. And as I researched, I learned that it's a problem across all branches of the military. Why aren't we doing more for these soldiers? What more can be done? That, unfortunately, will have to remain a question for another day because we have so much to cover on these murders and the missing on this episode. In 2016, one of the earlier recorded and disturbing deaths occurred, that of Staff Sergeant Devin Schrute. Devin was found dead in the cab of his pickup truck with a hose running from the exhaust pipe of the truck to the inside of the cabin. Now, this would normally be recognized as someone trying to end their own lives, right? Well, it was in fact ruled that, but there's a serious problem with that ruling. There was a blanket stuffed around the window of the truck that was holding the pipe in place, and it was covered in Devin's blood. On top of that, Devin had 9 stab wounds to his body, including defensive wounds on his forearm and his left hand. When Devin's family got custody of his body, he was, quote, wrapped like a mummy. Why would someone that is stabbed and has defensive wounds be ruled as that? How would someone who had done that have their blood on the outside of the vehicle when they were found in the sealed vehicle? I can't answer all those questions for you. It's very, very strange. Later that same year, Private Dakota Lee Stump left his barracks to go into work, which was less than a mile from his housing, and he never returned. Not only did it take them a month to find his body, but it was found only 2 miles from the barracks. So my question is, how on earth did it take that long to find someone who was right there in the area? They found his body next to his overturned vehicle, again, kind of in a thickly wooded area, and it was found by soldiers who were doing some training in the woods. So that explains that, yes, it was somewhat obscured, but you would think that an extensive search would have taken place for a soldier that went missing, right? And that he probably should have been found so close to home, especially because there was an upside-down car found with him. And we've seen cases where people go off the road and they're just right there, but they're not found for a while. It does happen. But there are people who firmly believe, they are convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt, that 19-year-old Dakota was actually murdered. There is a large Facebook community dedicated to the discussion of the cover-up of this murder. And if you're interested in finding more about this, the group is called Justice for Dakota Stump. The Army has stated that Dakota was driving under the influence and that he was going 82 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. However, the toxicology report from Dakota's autopsy was inconclusive, most likely due to decomposition. But there's something else that's strange about this. When Dakota's body was found, it was mostly intact, with one glaring exception. He was missing his hyoid bone. Now, we know that the hyoid bone almost always shows a very specific type of break when someone has been strangled. Why on earth would someone remove the hyoid bone from a body? Well, obviously, to take away any chance of proving that that person was strangled. Did someone murder Dakota Stump by strangulation and then put his body in his car and crash that car? You know I'm not much for conspiracy theories, especially wild ones, but this one holds some water in my opinion. Your hyoid bone doesn't just fly out of your intact body, even weeks later. Animals hadn't really gotten to the body, so where on earth is that bone? This isn't the only time this has happened either. In March of 2019, at Camp Pendleton near San Diego, a Marine named Riley Schultz was found dead. His death was also ruled self-inflicted, but he too was missing his hyoid bone. So this just adds to the mystery of these soldiers' deaths. It's a very strange detail. In July of 2017, Specialist Justin Ogden's body was found. His death was ruled self-inflicted, but when the Army turned over his last note, the note, his mother said it wasn't in his handwriting. She said it wasn't even close to Justin's handwriting. This soldier's family is convinced that his death was not by his own hand. If you haven't been to this area of Texas, it's hard to imagine just how isolated and how hot and how desolate it is. There isn't a rolling hill, let alone a mountain. It is miles and miles of dust, and it gets very dry and very hot. There is not much around, and these soldiers are totally dependent on the base. I read articles where reporters who ventured to the area were warned not to drink the water on the base because some people are convinced there is some sort of drug or mind control substance being fed to the soldiers. I read articles that stated reporters were threatened not to investigate these deaths, that their lives would be in jeopardy if they did. Those things might sound a bit far-fetched, but we know these things have happened in the past. One reporter claims that parents warned them about cartels that run the area, kind of gangs of soldiers that control different factions at the base and have secrets to hide. In the Vanity Fair article I used for some of this information, there is a story about how one person was carrying a rosary for protection. And when she got out onto the base to start this story she was writing, the rosary broke and the beads scattered on the ground. People are wary, they're cautious, and they have reason to be. On March 1st, 2020, Shelby Tyler Jones died after he suffered a gunshot wound south of Killeen. The 20-year-old was partying at a club that night, and then he went to a convenience store where apparently there was some kind of an altercation, and Shelby was murdered. A few days later, on March 5th, Christopher Wayne Sawyer, who was 29, was found unresponsive in his residence at Fort Hood. His death was investigated by the CID, which stands for Criminal Investigation Division, and they ruled the death was the result of natural causes and no foul play was suspected. Now, I'm not really sure why a 29-year-old would die in their sleep, but I'm not the expert. I haven't seen the autopsy. The only article I found on this death said, "Foul play is not suspected, but has not been ruled out." Besides that statement, there is very limited information on this death. The following week, on March 14th, Freddie Beningo De La Cruz Jr. was found dead alongside two other people at an apartment complex. All three of the deceased had been shot, and the case was ruled as a triple homicide. A couple of months later, on May 18th, Brandon Scott Rosecrans was found dead in Harker Heights, Texas. He had a gunshot wound, and his Jeep had been taken from the murder scene and burned. This was a mystery for months, but I read there has been a couple of arrests on this murder. Brandon Michael Olivares, 28, and his girlfriend, Estralita Hidalgo Falcon, 37, have been arrested in connection with Brandon Rosecrans' murder. Brandon's family states that Olivares and Falcon had befriended Brandon and were kind of using him for money and lodging, and that he was killed so they could take what he had. They're all really awful stories, regardless of whether they're connected or not. These are deaths. I mean, somebody's losing their loved one. Somebody's losing their life. On June 19th, the remains of Gregory Scott Morales were discovered in a field in Killeen. Gregory had gone missing 10 months earlier. He was 24 years old, and the Army had labeled him as a deserter, which seemed odd because he was scheduled to be discharged just a few days after his disappearance. And his family knew better. They knew he wasn't going anywhere right before his discharge. They knew he wouldn't simply desert his post and lose potential benefits. Gregory was last seen driving his personal vehicle, and then he just vanished from the base. Gregory had married a stripper who worked at the dollhouse. Her name is Penny Morales. She has two children, and Gregory was very excited to become an instant father. Gregory's family back in Oklahoma did not know that he had gotten married. Gregory had lost interest in the military, and he wanted out. He had begun spending some time with motorcycle clubs, and not the above board ones. Gregory was spending time with what is known in the biker community as the 1%. These are groups that are classified as outlaw motorcycle groups, groups that are not about camaraderie and charity work. They're gangs that are involved in criminal activity. Because Gregory had associations with this 1%, when he disappeared, he was labeled as a deserter and reported AWOL. By the time he was discovered, he was badly decomposed. And again, there were some bones missing, but this is much more to be expected considering it was a body that had lain in a field for almost a year. You can expect some bones are going to be missing after a year in an open field. Gregory's family feels that the search for the bones was complete, that they found all they could, but we still don't know what happened to Gregory or who killed him. This was not the first death to have an association with area outlaw motorcycle gangs. In 2017, Staff Sergeant Anthony Lovell, 40 years old, disappeared. Anthony was associated with one of these gangs. When he was found, his skull was split in half, and this death was somehow ruled an accident, even though a rival biker club's vest, the cut, was found hanging near a tree, very neatly placed over a branch where Lovell's body was found. I don't have a lot more information than that, or any info as to why that could be an accident. On July 17th, Mejor Morta was found unresponsive near Stillhouse Hollow Lake, which is about 16 miles from Fort Hood. Fishermen found his body at the base of a dam. An autopsy was performed and the cause of death was determined to be drowning. But again, there are those that do not believe that is what happened. I talk a lot on this channel about why certain cases garner more media attention than others. Far too often, it has to do with the attractiveness of the victim or the prominence of the victim's family. And here again, we see these men going missing and turning up dead and not a lot of national press about it, you know, until a beautiful young woman goes missing. Well, a case like that is kind of what brought this all to our attention. But her beauty is not the only reason this case is so well known. Her family fought long and hard to keep her name in the news, and sadly, they did not get the result they so desperately hoped for. April 22nd, 2020. Specialist Vanessa Guillen goes missing from Fort Hood. Vanessa was born and raised in Houston and had always been interested in the military. She joined at age 18 and was just 20 years old when she disappeared. Vanessa was very athletic. She lifted weights, she ran track, and she played soccer. She was also very beautiful, and Vanessa had expressed serious concerns about the frequency and the severity of the sexual harassment that she was experiencing at Fort Hood. When Vanessa disappeared, investigators searched her phone and found that she had last sent texts on the day she disappeared. The last text she sent was to a soldier named Aaron David Robinson. Vanessa was working in an arms room, a gun storage room, and was directed to go to a different arms room to confirm serial numbers on some weapons. The soldier in charge of that weapons room was the soldier she was texting, Aaron Robinson. Robinson said he confirmed the serial numbers on the report that Vanessa needed to finish and that she left him to go to the motor pool. Well, Vanessa was never seen again. Aaron David Robinson fell under suspicion, especially when soldiers came forward and told police that they had seen Robinson pulling a large tough box, this is what a tough box is, with wheels on it, and it looked like he was struggling because the box was very heavy. Thousands of soldiers were deployed to search for Vanessa. They searched barracks and fields, training areas and lakes, anywhere that Vanessa could possibly be. Weeks went by, and then months, with no sign of Vanessa anywhere until June 30th. On that day, contractors working on a fence discovered dismembered human remains that were partially buried along the Leon River. It appears the remains had initially been buried under concrete, and then they had been dug up by area wildlife. Investigators had been keeping a close eye on not only Aaron David Robinson, but on his girlfriend, Cecily Ann Aguilar, the estranged wife of another soldier, and again, Aaron's current girlfriend. Cecily was interviewed early on after Vanessa's disappearance, but denied knowing anything about it. After the body was found, Cecily was brought in for a second time. This time she confessed to the police that her boyfriend, Aaron Robinson, told her he had killed a female soldier at Fort Hood. The police then had Cecily call Aaron David Robinson, and they listened in on and recorded that phone call. During the call, Cecily told Robinson, "Baby, they found pieces." He did not respond. They then had Cecily text Robinson some breaking news articles about the discovery of the body, and he didn't respond to those either. But Cecily was not being honest with the police. Aaron Robinson hadn't just told her about the murder. Cecily Aguilar had helped him dispose of the body. Robinson had, in fact, bludgeoned Vanessa Guillen to death with a hammer, put her in the tough box, and then Cecily helped him bury her. As the police closed in on Aaron Robinson, he was taken into custody for violation of COVID-19 protocols. As he was detained, he sat with an unarmed guard in his barracks, knowing that he was being watched and detained as an arrest warrant was being drafted. Suddenly, Aaron Robinson stood and ran from the barracks, escaping from the guard who was in charge of him. Police were notified and called to the scene. They located Robinson, who then pulled out a handgun and ended his own life. Cecily Aguilar was taken into custody and charged with one count of conspiracy to tamper with evidence. What was the motive for this horrendous murder? It wasn't the fact that Vanessa was being sexually harassed. After an investigation, it was found that Vanessa was being harassed by a fellow soldier, a supervisor, among others, and that her commanding officers had really failed her. She tried to report the abuse and nothing was done, but it didn't have anything to do with why she was murdered. Vanessa was murdered because when she was in that arms room with Aaron Robinson, his cell phone lock screen popped up, and on that was a photo of Cecily. He looked at Vanessa, who was looking at the phone, and then their eyes met, and he knew that she knew he was sleeping with a married woman. The Army has very strict rules about adultery, and Aaron Robinson knew he was going to be in trouble. So for that, he murdered Vanessa in cold blood. Cecily Aguilar has been indicted on 11 counts related to Vanessa's death. Vanessa's family has met with politicians demanding an independent review of the case. In December of 2020, after an independent review, U.S. Secretary of the Army Ryan D. McCarthy announced that 14 senior officers were to be disciplined for leadership failures surrounding the Vanessa Guillen sexual harassment charges. On January 26, 2022, President Biden signed an executive order that established sexual harassment as a specific offense under the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice. The signing of this order is due in large part to the crusade undertaken by the family of Vanessa Guillen. They have handled this with such courage and grace. They never quit fighting for Vanessa. They fought and they fought and they took it all the way to the top.
President Biden signed an executive order today to make sexual harassment a crime under military law. The order also improves the way domestic violence cases are handled and toughens penalties for sharing sexual images without permission. This news comes after our multi-year CBS News investigation that reported extensively on how victims felt ignored or even faced retaliation after making complaints. These are historic changes and a step forward in a decades-long battle for reform.
Vanessa's murder and the tireless work of her family have brought much-needed attention to this situation, attention that has resulted in change. I think what they have done is such a great example about how continuing to talk about something, not letting it be forgotten, is the first step towards change. We in the true crime community are often accused of enjoying too much the discussion of very dark events. And yes, sometimes there are people who take it to a distasteful level. But the majority of us know that talking about these cases is a way to keep the victims alive in our memories. It's a way to honor them. And many times, like in this case, for example, it's a way to force change for the better. Sadly, Vanessa's case is far from the end of this disturbing rash of deaths and disappearances taking place at Fort Hood. The day after Vanessa disappeared, Private Gavin Chambers died on the base. I couldn't find any information on this death. On April 29th, Private Joshua Barnwell, only 19 years old, died. Joshua's death has been attributed to an accidental gun discharge. On May 16th, Sergeant Brad Reynolds, age 37, ended his life. And then, as I mentioned earlier, Brandon Rosecrans was found dead with his Jeep burning 3 miles from the base. Staff Sergeant Richard Harrington, age 45, ended his life. And then 23-year-old James Green did the same. So again, we just have a really unsettling rash of deaths, some being attributed to the deceased's own hand, but regardless, tragic and upsetting. Then on June 19th, in a field behind a cul-de-sac of a residential area in Killeen, a human skeleton was found. Police were called and thankfully an identification was made. The remains were those of Private Gregory Waddell Morales, who we spoke about earlier. On July 3rd, Specialist Miguel Yazzie, age 33, died at Fort Hood after he had repeatedly asked to see a doctor, but was denied that service time and again. For what reason? That's a good question. I can't answer that. Another Navajo soldier, Coralton Chi, collapsed during a training exercise and died days later at the base. So that sounds like someone with a health condition, right? Not only did Chi have no health conditions, he was covered in bruises and cuts when his parents saw him in the hospital. When they asked what had happened to their son, they got differing stories. Then they found out that Chi had messaged his sister, telling her that there were, quote, a group of white soldiers that don't like me, and that he was very afraid of them. Again, this is very suspicious. A healthy young man who collapses and then is found covered in wounds. It's unsettling, to say the least. And the Navajo Nation is investigating both of these deaths. On August 17th, Sergeant Elder Fernandez, 23, disappeared from the base. Months earlier, he reported, quote, abusive sexual contact from a staff sergeant who he alleged groped him when they were in a supply room. Fernandez was then labeled a snitch and was harassed by other soldiers. On August 11th, Fernandez's supervisor called his mother, Ailina, to tell her that her son had not shown up for work for 2 days. Ailina began calling around to anyone who might know where her son was, but she couldn't find him. Then she got a call from her son. He was in the hospital on the Army base. Fernandez wouldn't tell his mother what was going on. He wouldn't even tell her why he was in the hospital. He told her that the line was insecure, they might be being listened to, and that he couldn't talk. Now, that, to me, alone is troubling. I think people deserve their privacy, even when they're in the Army. I know you give up some form of privacy when you're in the Army, but a hospital line, where you're talking about your medical situation, it's a little scary. Fernandez called his mother again a couple of days later and told her, as soon as I get out of the hospital, I will call you. I will tell you everything. The next day, he got a ride from the hospital to his friend's house, and he was never seen again. Ailina, Fernandez's mother, called the base to ask where her son was, and they didn't know. They told her he was an adult, and if he wanted to go missing, that was his right. They then told her, call the local police, file a missing persons report. The police told her the same thing. Fernandez could go missing if he wanted to. Ailina was finally able to convince the police that her son would not choose to go missing, and they opened an investigation several days after he disappeared. Ailina told them that she had her son's laptop, iPad, an external hard drive. They didn't want any of it. Ailina told the press, I am astounded. Nobody is interested. Nobody cares. About a week later, on August 25th, in Temple, Texas, which is about 25 miles east of Fort Hood, a rail worker saw a body hanging from a tree across from a burned warehouse. Unfortunately, it was Fernandez, and his death was ruled self-inflicted. The Army then ruled that his sexual assault accusations were unsubstantiated, and that because Fernandez was dead, there was no one to testify or gather information from. Now, isn't that convenient? You know, this one particularly feels very, very suspect, to me anyway. They're all tragic and they're all terrible. This one and a couple others, though, it seems strange. In October of 2021, 26-year-old Maxwell Hawken was found dead behind his barracks at Fort Hood. All of the articles I found on this death are a year old. They simply state that Maxwell was found dead and some state that foul play is not suspected. They say an investigation is underway and then there's nothing, no information. That was a year ago and there isn't any information as to how he died. Now, some of the people who were once listed as missing from Fort Hood are the people we've talked about today, people who were once missing but then were found dead. But I'm really frustrated that I cannot find and share with you a definitive list of people currently missing from Fort Hood. That's bothersome to me. There is quite a bit of information online about the murders and even the deaths from things like car crashes. And again, the things we've talked about today, like drownings and unalivings. But I feel like we should know or have access to information as to who is missing at all times, and I simply can't give you that information. I like to tie things up for you guys. I like to present you a linear story that has a start, a middle, and an end. Even when the case is ongoing, I like to bring you as close up to date as I can. And I just can't do that with this story. There really isn't a beginning, a middle, or an end. And again, I'm really bothered by the fact that we don't even know all of the people that are missing. We don't know all of the people that are murdered or dead. I know I have missed some people, and please know that isn't intentional. I did a lot of research on this story, and I'm absolutely confident that I've missed some. I want to know what you think about what's happening at Fort Hood. I genuinely think a lot of these events are people who choose not to be here anymore. And then, of course, some deaths are attributed to accidents. But some of these are just downright disturbing. Do you think there is a cover-up going on? And if so, is it a group cover-up or is it individuals each covering up their own crimes? It's kind of hard to imagine that there isn't some kind of cover-up from the top, even if it's just the control of information that we would normally have more access to if these deaths didn't involve soldiers, right? But does it go deeper than that? What exactly is going on at Fort Hood? And when will we have some answers? Thank you for joining me today on Dining with Death, True Crime Tuesday. Hit that like button if you like the video. It supports me, it helps, and subscribe to my channel if you like the content. You can also join my Patreon. That helps me a lot, and there will also be some bonus content. Stay safe, my friends, and be kind to each other. And I'll see you next time on Dining with Death. Bye.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.